Hey there, welcome to the 17th episode of the CrackerCast podcast. This is David from MrCracker.com, and it is June 2nd of 2010. So before I get into the news, I want to tell you about a lesson I learned today. It was very unpleasant. Basically, this is how it goes. Do not, under any circumstance, go commando with jeans on a hot day. Especially if you have to sit down, because things tend to stick together and get moist. Gross. Anyways, so first up we have, man infects himself with computer virus. So this British scientist has become the first human being to contract a computer virus, and you might be thinking, oh, whoa, what's going on? Do we have access to my brain? No, he just had a RFID chip implanted in his hand, which gave him access to his laboratory allowed access to his cell phone, and just access to his machines. Basically, he was able to infect it wirelessly. In fact, as RFID chip wirelessly, and then once he approached his laboratory door or his systems and to gain access, he would gain access via his RFID chip. And then what happened was this RFID chip that was infected with the virus infected the machines. And then when other individuals that had access to those machines via their own RFID chips that were implanted in their arms came about, they would get verified by the system, and then once the RFID chip wirelessly connected to the system would infect their RFID chips, and so on. So he's just showing an example how, you know, the whole future about all this RFID chip implants and just biological bionic implants aren't as safe as most people expect. Now, a little bit more down the line, imagine when computer chips control people's brains, and imagine hacking that, huh? That's right, you could have little minions, little human robotic minions at your fingertips doing as you please. Anyways, next up we have, okay, Haley Williams Twitter hacked nude twit pic photo. Anyways, this star, I don't know who she is, but it's been all over the news, so I'm like, okay, I'll talk about it. Maybe some of you know, but it's from Paramore's Haley Williams Twitter was apparently hacked and a nude pic was tweeted to her fans. Naturally, the photo has gone viral. Check out the picture along with the video here. And there's a link. It doesn't show everything. Don't worry about it. But basically, my hypothesis on this is that it was not hacked. She's just an attention whore that is seeking, you guessed it, attention. Actually, it's been common now that people blame, people say something stupid on their Twitter, some star, makes fun of someone, or they say something stupid. Well, not stupid, but stupid for someone in that position of, authority and, they have a huge audience to say something. And it gets, really controversial, gets a bunch of news, and makes a person look bad. And they all blame it on a hack. Someone hacked my account, it wasn't me. And this has been going on for a while now. Now, I no longer know how many of these are actually hacks, but it's very possible, but I doubt it was in this case. She looks like the type. I'll try not to be stereotypical, but I mean, look at her picture. Waha. Anyways, next up we have Japanese police bust malware extortionist ring. So a couple of dudes have been busted in China for infecting people with malware that would extract their bookmarks and publish them to the internet. And then it would tell them, listen, you either pay us or we don't remove the information online. And you might be thinking, oh, what's the big deal? I don't go to many sites that are inappropriate or just kind of gross. But the thing is with these people is that they were targeted via anime porn. Or maybe just porn and anime. But I'm pretty sure with Japanese people, it would be anime porn. I don't understand what they find in anime porn. Honestly, I don't. It's like, well, I won't go there. But that's why people would pay, obviously, because they don't want to be caught with that kind of information in their bookmarks. Alright, next up we have Hack sees imperfect Netflix for iPad working on an iPhone. So the iPad application that plays Netflix on the iPad has been hacked to work on the iPhone. Now, it's not that great because it drags your battery life and it's kind of slow. But still, you know what? It works on the iPhone. So for those of you who have Netflix like me, and trust me, once you go Netflix, you don't go back. Seriously, it is amazing. But, It was basically hacked to work on the iPhone. But then again, I doubt many people will be using it on the iPad either, because as of recently, AT&T has come out with new data plans, which they no longer have a unlimited data plan. So I think it's like 10 gigs the max, or maybe 2 gigs. I'm not sure. But as you know, streaming video takes up a lot of bandwidth, so it might not be a popular feature anymore. Actually, I was considering buying an iPad, but ever since AT&T removed the unlimited data plan, I don't find it as attractive anymore. Because, come on, nowadays with everything you can do on the internet, all the streaming, music, there's no way in hell that 2 gigabytes is going to be enough. And like the lowest plan for like $15 or $20 a month is like 200 megabytes. Come on, seriously. But let's see. Last news article for this week's podcast is five charged in $450,000 e-banking malware swindle, and this is in California. And so somehow the bank's computers were infected with Trojans, not Trojans, but keyloggers. And so not really a technical hack at all, just a keylogger. And these people were able to get the passwords for many of the city's bank accounts, and they withdrew around $450,000. And they got busted, obviously, and the city was able to recover everything but $44,000. So who knows where that went? But yeah, they're all caught. They're all gonna get screwed, some life, some prison sentences, possibly, maybe some large charges. Who knows? All right, so that's it for this week's news. If you wish to read all the news for every week about hacking, then you would want to subscribe to my email list, which is on mrcracker.com. Go to mrcracker.com, look on the right-hand side. There is an email opt-in box. Put in your name and email address. Click submit. You will receive an email in your inbox that tells you to confirm your email address. Click confirm, and you will be on the list. And you will receive every week one email about all the news for that week on the topics of hacking and security. So if you want to do that, go ahead and do that now. So let's get into the main topic then. So this week's main topic is going to be about password cracking. Now I'm actually working on a new course right now, all about password cracking. So I decided, why not make a course? I mean, why not have an episode on it? So the point of this main topic is to introduce you to password cracking. So this might be information you already know, maybe it's new to you, but either way, I hope you learn something new. So before we get into password cracking, let's figure out who does this affect. Who does password cracking affect? And the answer is pretty much everyone on the internet, because there's no way you have an online presence without having at least one password online. And that's a really big understatement, because literally everyone has at least 20. At least I do. I have so many. I already forgot half the sites I'm a member of. And the thing is, a lot of you, I've noticed, is that you guys don't have different passwords for every website. Usually it's the same password for every website. So the thing is, when you crack one password from one site, then you can have access to every other site that you're a member of and pretty much own you online. So as you can see, it basically affects everyone. And in the past, it's affected people, really high people in high places like Barack Obama, Britney Spears, Kevin Rose, and their Twitter accounts where passwords were hacked, cracked actually, because back then Twitter didn't really have anything against that protected against password cracking techniques. Now they do, obviously, but if you look through history, there's a lot of and breaking entries, basically hacks that occurred all because of password cracking. So it literally affects everyone. So before I get into all the methods, you have to understand what a password hash is. And a password hash is basically when you take a password, a plain text password, let's say the password is cat, and you plug it into a one-way mathematical function. And this mathematical function takes in that word cat and spits out an encrypted string. Basically, it went from a three-letter word to like a 20-letter random gibberish, and basically this mathematical function, it took this cat and it transformed the word into something a lot bigger. That basically you look at it and you know what the heck is this, and when you plug it in, if you try to log in with that giant string of gibberish, you won't be allowed in. So you're thinking, okay, what's the point of hashing that password? Well, the thing is, when you try to log in, what the system does is it takes your password. Let's say you typed in dog, then it'll run it through the same hash function, or let's say MD5, and it'll compare it to the string that's to the hashed string that is stored in the database. which is the hashed word cat. And if the two strings match each other, which they don't, but if it does match, it'll allow you to be logged in. So if you type anything besides cat, then it won't allow you to log in. But once you type in cat, it'll encrypt it through this hash function, and bam, it'll compare it. Oh wow, that matches. This must be the right password, and it allows you to get in. So this is where all these type of hacking, password cracking methods come into place. And I'm gonna name all of them right now. There's dictionary attacks, there's brute force attacks, and there's hybrid attacks, and lastly, there's rainbow tables. And I'll go over every one of them each separately right now. Just a little broad, nah, actually, just a quick overview of each one. I won't get into details because it will take me a long time. All right, dictionary attacks. What a dictionary attack is basically, you take your password, the password hash. Let's say you got the password hash, and you can get a password hash many ways. You could hack the website and download their database, which has every one of the password hashes stored, and you could try that's one way of getting it. Or you don't have to necessarily have the password hash. You could do an online attack where you run a password cracking tool against a web form, online form, and it'll submit the password. It'll guess a password, and if it works, it'll log you in. If it doesn't work, it'll send back an error message, and it'll keep going, trying it over and over again online. But as you can tell, it's much better to do it offline, and that requires you to have access to that hash, that encrypted password string, because it's 10 times faster, and some other reasons, which I'll get into later. But let's see, there's a dictionary attack, and dictionary attack. It's the quickest one of these, well, quickest attack of all of the ones I mentioned, because basically you take a password and you take a dictionary file or some sort of password file, and basically the password file usually contains, the whole English dictionary as well as the most popular passwords used today. And it'll take the first word in the dictionary and it'll encrypt it, run it through the hash function, and it'll compare it to the password hash. And if it matches, it'll tell you it matches. If it doesn't, it goes to the next word. And it keeps going down the whole list until it finds a match, or it might not find a match. And this is the fastest one. Then comes the brute force attack. Now, the brute force attack is a lot different. It requires a lot more CPU power, and it's a lot longer because basically what a brute force attack is it takes a password hash, the one you're trying to crack, and it generates every possible character, number, letter combination in but you basically take a program that does brute force attacks, and you tell it how long the password is. You might not know the password length. If you do, then the amount of combinations is a lot lower. But if you don't, you can say it's up to 8 characters. So then, and then you can say it consists of both numbers and letters, and both capitals and lowercase. So what the program will do is it will generate every single combination of numbers, letters, capitals, and lowercase for 1 character password length, for 2 character long passwords, for 3 character long words. And basically it'll generate a list of hundreds and millions, if not billions and billions, of different word combinations. Every possible word that can be made out of those characters and that length of a password, it will make. And then it'll start going from one by one, and each password it'll try against that hash. As you can see, this is not the best method, but if a dictionary attack fails, you go down to a brute force attack. And the thing is, this can take days if you're lucky, hours if you're luckier, or it could take weeks, months, and possibly if the password is like 15 characters long, it could take decades. So as you can see, everything is crackable, but if you have the time, if you're willing to wait 20 years, go ahead. But it's not always that bad, because nowadays, with all this technology where you have great processors, and you can actually use take advantage of graphic cards, processors and graphic cards, which are usually faster for this sort of attack, and combine the power. And not only that, you could actually take computers and create clusters of computers, basically a bunch of computers connected together, and use all their power to try to crack a one password. And it really brings down the amount of time that it takes to crack a password. Now you might be thinking, oh wow, what's the point? I'll never crack a password. I'm not gonna wait years. The thing is though, people nowadays don't use large passwords. I believe most people use similar, really simple passwords that are usually able to be broken by a dictionary attack. And if not that, it's usually just a normal word with a couple numbers, and it's not that long. People don't like long passwords because it's, more to remember. People are lazy. So basically, most of the time, it won't be a problem. You can crack it like this, and that's pretty much a brute force attack. Now, then there's a hybrid attack, and the hybrid attack is basically a dictionary attack combined with a brute force attack. And this is how it works. You take a dictionary attack, dictionary list with all the popular passwords, and then you use a brute force attack along with that. And you might be asking how? Well, let's say you take the first word, which is like, we'll use the cat again. The first word is cat, right? And then the way the brute force attack goes along with this is because that cat. The brute force attack will append some characters to the end of cat. So let's say it'll try cat 1, cat 2, cat 3, cat 4, cat 5, or 1 cat 2, 1 cat 3, or 2 cat 2. Basically, it'll add letters or numbers to cat. Basically, it uses that similar word, those popular words, but it'll add things onto it in a brute force manner. So that's a hybrid attack. And last but not least is rainbow tables. Now, if you have rainbow tables are a really great option, but they take a lot of hard drive space to contain, and it takes a while to make them. But the great thing about it is that nowadays a lot of people have already made it for you, and you can download rainbow tables online. And some of them are as big as like 20 terabytes. They get pretty large if you want a larger chance of getting a password. And so, what is a rainbow table? Basically, in a quick, just like a summary, kind of summarize it really quick, because literally to understand how rainbow tables work, it would take me like a long time to explain. So I'm just gonna tell you right now as a quick summary. Basically, rainbow tables are enormous pre-computed hash values for every possible combination of characters. So it's basically a brute force attack, but it's already pre-computed. Basically, it takes all the words, every possible word, and it makes a hash value for it. It runs it through the hash function, and it stores that word with the hash function. So you don't have to keep creating the hash, running the password through the hash, and then comparing it. Instead, it's already made. So it's a giant table of already password to its hash value, and it compares it through there. So as you can see, it gets pretty large. These tables can get huge. There's actually services online that you can actually submit your password, and they already have terabytes and terabytes of password rainbow tables. And they compare it for you and try to find it for you. So those are the main, pretty much, methods for password cracking. Now you might there's an, I want to bring up another point about password cracking. To pretty much secure your password from being, susceptible to a simple password cracking attack. Many websites or companies that have, huge databases of user, they use salts. And basically what a salt is basically a random string that is appended to your password, basically added to your password, and then it's hashed. And it's different for every user. So basically it could be like this. Basically it could be a password. The company asks for your password, you put in your password when you're signing up for an account, and then it takes that password and it takes your username and it adds it to the password and it hashes that and spits out your and stores your new hash. So that next time you log in, you type in your password, it'll take that password, it'll take your username, connect it to your password, and then hash it. And the reason why this is good is because now a rainbow table will no longer work for every username, every person on that website, because every person on the website has a different salt. Get it? I hope you understand that, but so that's a way of thwarting a rainbow table attack, basically making it useless. And to be able to use a rainbow table for every person on that database, you'd have to make a separate rainbow table for every single person, because every single person has a different salt. So that's basically what a salt is for. So that's pretty much just like a basic introduction to password cracking. I hope you got something from it. If you like it, you can easily find a lot of information online. But I'll be coming out with my new course very soon. Some of you might enjoy password cracking. I know some of you emailed me asking me for more information on password cracking. So this is just a little beginning, little intro, and look forward to submitting my finishing my new course in the meantime. But so that's it for the main topic. This week's hacker website is skeptical.org, skeptikal.org. It is a blog by Mike Bailey on hacking and security. He has many interesting articles on the topics, many topics of hacking. So just check it out. Nothing special, just some great articles. Yeah, that's about this. That's this week's website. But if you guys have any suggestions for any hacking websites, security websites that you guys know of, feel free to email me at comments@mrcracker.com because I'm literally running out of websites. I've already done over 50. So I'm actually working on a directory right now, or a list of all the hacker websites I've done in the past for my newsletter and my podcast, so that those of you who haven't received every one of my newsletters, you can learn about some of the websites out there that are pretty good. So please feel free to send me any websites that you know of that relate to hacking or security, and I would love to announce them on the show, as well as give you credit. So I'll leave your name, maybe your pseudonym, whatever you want to do. So that's it for this week's website. So that's the end of episode 17. I hope you liked it. Sorry about the delay between the last episode and this one. I'll try to stay on target for the next one. So if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to email me at comments@mrcracker.com. I love to receive any feedback or any questions. I'll read them on the show, answer your questions on the show, read your feedback on the show, whatever it is, hate mail, I don't mind, send it all. And before I close, I'd like to mention that the Hacker Academy, their $30 discount is ending in a few days. So once you get this, seriously, go to hacker-academy.com and check it out. I'll have it in the show notes. But in a jiffy, basically what it is basically, it doesn't matter if you're a beginner, intermediate, advanced, you're going to love this place. If you're a beginner, you will learn how to hack. If you're intermediate, you'll learn how to hack better. And if you're advanced, you're going to love it because they have this thing called the cutting edge. And what happens is, every new technique, every new hacking topic that comes out, they break it down for you, they teach it to you, and then they provide a lab for you, because there's no way to learn like when you actually do it and apply it. So for example, if you guys visit DEF CON or TorCon, all these conferences, these hacker conferences out there, many times the presentations given at these conferences are new information that hasn't been submitted, published yet, and these some new techniques come out every year at these conferences. But the thing is, you go home afterwards, you're like, listen, oh shoot, that was a great presentation, but I have no idea how to actually apply it and do it. If only I could, you know, learn that stuff. No problem. These guys, they break it down, they teach it to you, and then they give you that lab. So you guys have no problem with learning all these new techniques. So go to hacker-academy.com. Check it out. If you like it, sign up. But if you are going to, then you better hurry up, because the $30 discount is ending in a couple days. I don't want you to miss out. I've been a member now for a few weeks, and I'm loving it, every minute of it. I'm on there every single day trying to go through a new course. So that's it. If you guys want to stay in contact, you can follow me at twitter.com/MrCracker, my blog, MrCracker.com. I have my YouTube channel and my Facebook group on the blog. There's a link on the right-hand side. Otherwise, I'll see you next week. Happy hacking. Peace out.